This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Adam Archuleta and Pedro Gomez are our guests today. Pedro comes up at 10:20. Are the Diamondbacks just fading into the abyss? A couple weeks ago, Pedro said they're going to be able to hang on and get it done. They, by my count, have 43 games left. And yesterday was one of the worst games that they played of the year. Bad games are going to happen. I get it. And afterwards, the team dressed in spacesuits to go to Houston, took the picture, Houston, we have a problem. They're trying to remain loose. They're trying to remain, you know, not caught up in the moment, the middle of August where things aren't going well for them. Optically, it doesn't look good when I see guys dressed up in spacesuits after getting hammered 9-4. However, would tell you that the way that the team has played for the most part this year, even though the last 6 weeks have not been good, you can't just suddenly stop doing the goofy stuff. That would send fear through the clubhouse. Look, we have days here, and you probably have days at your job where it's just, it's a struggle, and you embrace the struggle and you enjoy the struggle. Anybody who says everything is always great, they don't tell the truth. So it's no different in sports. You know, the Astros beat them over the head yesterday, a 5-run second inning. You look at the homestand at 3-5, they're able to take one game from each one of the three teams that, in my humble opinion, is better than them. What have we seen here over the last week around the Diamondbacks? That there are several teams that are better than them. However, they played so well in the first half of the season that all it takes is the one wild card game, and then you're going to face the Dodgers, and nobody's expecting you to win that series, and the Dodgers will mow right over you, and everybody and their brother's saying that. Narrative's pretty easy. So really, is there pressure? Sure, it's the middle of August. From a big league ball club clubhouse, you think guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Zach Greinke, J.D. Martinez are saying, guys, we can't dress in spacesuits today. We lost again. You think that if there were players that said we shouldn't be doing this at the start of the year, that they'd be pulling the plug on it now? No. You think there'd be veterans that would say, we can't screw around here. We just got our heads kicked in again. That they would still be doing it? No, of course not. And so they're just trying to keep the status quo going, and I actually do respect that. They go to Houston tonight. We'll talk with Pedro about that. Also, the whole idea of not having bases on the field any longer, this goes to the Bryce Harper knee injury that was suffered over the weekend, the agent suggesting that that's what needs to happen. So we'll talk with Pedro Gomez on that front. Adam Archuleta at 10:35. So Arch, of course, a very good Sun Devil, great Sun Devil, went into the NFL, had a good career with the Rams and the Redskins, a very well-paid career, I might add. And I've got a personal story with Arch. I guess I'll tell it now because I think I've shared this with him on the air. Eric, have you heard the story with Arch and I? Okay, so you don't want me to go down that path here. All I get is a nod out of you today. Is that it? I got you.
I got you there. I'm just multitasking here behind
you multitask?
The yeah.
What?
Huh? Yeah, Wednesdays are busy.
That's right.
I mean, all days are busy, but Wednesdays are especially busy.
Yeah, we have Friday Night 360 AZ coming up.
We do.
Later on. We have Talk to the Lopes coming up at 11, but here in the first hour. I'll get to that as the show progresses. Adam Archuleta, when he left the NFL, was one of those guys that really didn't know what he wanted to do. And Adam Archuleta completely, totally humbled himself. And 6 years later, it's been announced that Adam Archuleta is now one of the regular analysts for CBS. Not just a guy who's going to do one game as he started out doing. He's moved all the way up. And good for him. Really good for him. He's worked at it. So I'm happy we'll have Arch with us. I think the story of the day, to me, what Michael Crowe said yesterday about Todd Graham, I had some people that called me yesterday afternoon and texted and all that stuff. Can you believe what Crowe said about Graham having to get better? Well, no, I'm not one of those that gets all wound up about it. What is the president of the university supposed to say? I really enjoyed us getting our heads kicked in by the U of A last year. Do you think Todd Graham's in trouble? Todd Graham's been in trouble since the moment that clock went zero last year against the U of A. I have nothing personal against Todd. It's just anybody who doesn't think that there's going to be a coaching change this year, one way or the other, Todd leaves or they blow him out, one way or the other. And it's, what do you mean Todd leaves? If Todd sees a gig out there that's better than the one that he's in right now, he's taking this about as far as he can take it. The fact that Ray Anderson's going to get a contract extension did raise my eyebrows a little bit. No disrespect to Ray. Last year's athletic department was not good. Let's call it as it is. The best programs out there last year were the women's golf team and the women's basketball team. That's it. That's not going to get it done from a revenue standpoint. I thought Bobby made some progress, but that's not going to get it done. I'm interested in the Cardinal game on Saturday from this standpoint. So you're going to have Mike Glennon, Mitchell Trubisky. Have you seen yet the quarterback breakdown, Eric, for number of snaps? Or I have not seen it.
I have not.
I've not seen anything from the Bears. If anybody's, you guys are watching this, you might have seen it. I have not seen it. You're going to the game, right?
I am. Yep. I will be there Saturday night.
You know my stance on August football. Your stance on August football is not as hard-lined as mine. You enjoy being around the game?
It's fine. It's okay. It's great that football's back. It's just not real football. It's nothing that we haven't talked about on the show over and over again.
Right.
I mean, the most important preseason game for most teams is the third preseason game.
Right.
So that's the one I look forward to the most. I don't know how Coach Arians is going to do it since the Cardinals are playing five this summer. Lucky them.
Right. Okay.
Five preseason.
You're dancing around this a little bit.
No, I'm not. I just, training camp is just.
Okay, but
it's been going and going.
Roll with me on this.
Okay.
So I'm actually looking forward to seeing Glennon and Trubisky. I'm actually looking forward, and I'm looking forward to that day when we have that here, when there is an open quarterback competition, because the guy that is here in Arizona right now has never gotten a team all the way to the promised land. How am I supposed to believe that this is going to be any different? When the head coach is not happy with his wide receivers, and he's going to have them back in full pads today, 2 days in a row, as we're sitting here in the middle of August, the third week of training camp, you cannot tell me that there aren't players that are saying, man, you got to be kidding me. We still have 3 more weeks of this. The benefit of playing in the Hall of Fame game exactly was what now? Except that Kurt was going in? Exactly what was the benefit of starting a week earlier than everybody else?
The coaches are just crossing their fingers and nobody gets hurt.
No, I know that.
I mean, that's the – and I do think – I agree with you. There is a little bit of intrigue to watch the quarterbacks in Chicago because the Cardinals behind the scenes have been – I don't want to say had a love fest with Mike Glennon, but Mike Glennon has always been linked to the Cardinals.
Yes, he has.
In one way or another whenever Carson Palmer decides to not play anymore.
Yes, he has. And so you're on to where I'm at on this. What is the deal with Mike Glennon? Why am I supposed to be infatuated with Mike Glennon? What did Mike Glennon do in Tampa Bay? What has Mike Glennon done in Chicago exactly? And I know the media love affair, and also in Chicago, I think the press corps there realizes, hey, our team's going to blow, but we can actually talk forever about who should be the quarterback, and we'll get away with it.
And the connection there, Brad, is Mike Glennon went to NC State, Steve Keim went to NC State. So that's where that all started.
That's just such a reach. To me, I don't care. So what if Steve went to North Carolina State? Was he there? Was he the roommate of Mike Glennon? So what if he went to North Carolina State? I think Steve's better than, I'm going to take that guy because he went to North Carolina State. Makes all the sense in the world. It's just me.
Okay. That's just where the connection is. I'm just
now. Kadeem Carey, are you interested to see how Kadeem Carey plays this weekend?
A little bit, because from what I've heard from people that I've talked to in Chicago last week, Kadeem Carey has been a disappointment.
Yeah, it's kind of the end of the road for him there, isn't it?
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, I just think
he's one of those kind of older young running backs. If that makes any sense. I mean, he's been around. But he hasn't been around that long. But he just seems like he's played in Chicago for a decade.
It's kind of like Andre Ellington here.
Uh huh. It's a good analogy.
This guy that's hanging around, like, okay, what is exactly the purpose of him here? I could get in to do the easy, low-hanging fruit of doing LeBron James for a whole hour on Donald Trump. I could do that because that's what that's what every network is doing today. And I'm not going to do that because that is just easy, low-hanging fruit. And when there comes a point in time where I feel as though it's something of discussion at great length, am I supposed to get all wound up that with race riots going in Charlottesville, that LeBron spoke out about our so-called president, was his line, his so-called president. Am I going to do hours of that? No. I'm going to talk with Pedro Gomez. That's what I'm going to do, and I'll do that next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show tonight, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 16 airings on Fox Sports Arizona this week. We appreciate the partnership with them, and we're brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Time now for Pedro Gomez on the set at ESPN. Actually, they're in Bristol. I don't know if he's on the set or not, but he'll be on the set, I'm sure, tonight. ESPN's baseball analyst, insider, Valley resident. Coming up at 11 o'clock before we get to Pedro, Paul Coro is going to be with us now at gculopes.com. You heard about Paul, right?
I did. That's excellent news.
He is one of the best. I will tell him you said hello unless you two are having problems I don't know about.
Please. No. His wife teaches at the high school where all three of my kids, two have gone and one is finishing.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has problems with Paul. He's hard to deal with, so you know how that goes.
Exactly. Bad guy. Really
yeah.
Bad guy.
right. okay, so there's a lot of stuff nationally that I want to get to, and I want to get to the hometown nine. The national stuff is Kinsler against Angel Hernandez, Giancarlo Stanton, and Bryce Harper. The hometown nine is the hometown nine stinks. I'm going to leave it to you as to which way you want to start today. National or local?
Let's go local first.
All right. So why is this team so bad, and are they going to pull out of it? Do you think that they are just in a dog days of summer blues?
I think that's exactly what it is. This is a club that has not contended for years, and there's a lot of players on this roster who by this time are used to being about 20, 25 games out of first place, and they're not. They're in playoff contention right now, and this is why you always hear the term the dog days of August. There's a reason that that term exists, because players tend to hit a wall when they're in the fifth month of a six-month season, and it's not unusual at all for this to happen, especially for a lot of guys who have never been under the kind of stress that a lot of these players have been under this year. Look, when you're in last place and you're 35 games out of first place, it's not nearly the same stress. When you know we got to win tonight, we got to keep our position in the playoffs, there's far more stress to that, especially when you have not gone through it. So I fully suspect that they are just grinding like crazy right now, but they've realistically hit a wall. And what tends to happen, Brad, is that once you get to that Labor Day point, if you still are in contention, which I fully suspect the D-backs will be, your adrenaline kicks back in because the finish line is right there, and you know the postseason is right behind that finish line.
Okay, so yesterday they get blown out by Houston, and afterwards they take a picture in the locker room of all of them dressed up with their spacesuits on, because as a team they've been doing this all year long.
Yep.
And on one hand, fans I've heard from saying, why are they screwing around after getting their heads kicked in? On the other hand, it's, no, you keep your routine up because it's afforded them to be four games up, five games up, whatever it is, in the National League West. So do you have a problem with them having some fun and goofing off after a 3-5 homestand?
Absolutely zero. This is what they need. They need to break up the fact that they just got, you know, pounded by the Astros. What happens when a club is losing 16-2 and it's the ninth inning? They put in a position player to pitch.
Right.
Because they need to make light of a bad situation. They need to tell, basically send a message to everybody, like basically saying, yeah, we got our rears handed to us tonight, but look, Daniel Descalzo's out there pitching. Let's have some fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw this in 2001 with Mark Grace when he took the hill in a horrible loss against the Cubs. And the club rebounded and started playing well again. You need to be able to laugh, you know, at at yourself and at your teammates at some point. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. When you're playing 162 games over 182 games, 182 days, you're going to need some levity. I have zero problem, and I've talked to plenty of players who said that's exactly the tonic that you need after a bad day.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider with Brad Sesmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Is there a player that you're looking at that has to move through this to get the team back on track? The easy answer is, well, you have Paul Goldschmidt or you have Zach Greinke, but maybe you see somebody else, or it is this those guys in particular, that's got to get this team back on track that you're looking at saying, what is the problem here?
You know, again, I think the problem is the fact that they're grinding. They've been at this for you know, close to 5 months, and they've done really well. I mean, let's face it, they would have to lose about 8 games in a row right now in order to drop out of the playoff picture. So they're fine in that sense. I would say that it would be.
I'll look at it.
Robbie Ray can come back.
Yeah.
If Robbie Ray can come back, that would help. Now he is, you know, on the DL. He's injured. That's not something that. It's not like he's scuffling, but I think that could absolutely be an injection of adrenaline and a positive vibe that would reverberate throughout that clubhouse.
Yeah, I think AJ Pollock is the other one who's just not been good at all here in the last.
I was going to mention Pollock. Yeah. I know defensively he's still getting the job done,
right?
But he could help out a little bit offensively, and you know he's too good of a player to stay like this.
Okay, one other question on the Diamondbacks. We'll get away from them. Your gut feel on August 16th about JD Martinez being here beyond this season?
Obviously it's going to depend on Ken Kendrick because he's the one with the checkbook.
Right.
I will say this, that the market is probably not going to be what it was, say, 5 years ago. I mean, you saw Mark Trumbo last year hit 47 home runs, become a free agent, and his best offer was 3 years, 37. I'm not saying JD is going to be 337,
mm-hmm.
but I could see where there's not a huge ceiling, like, you know, one of those $100 million type deals. I talked to him actually on Friday. I was out at Chase Field and I asked him how he's liking it. He says, man, I love the guys in the clubhouse. It's a really, really good mix. And I'm really digging the area. You know, he doesn't know. He did not know the Phoenix Scottsdale area at all before these last three, four, 5 weeks, and he's definitely liking it. When it comes down to it, it's still a business. And look, if the Diamondbacks don't make a competitive offer, they're probably not going to have a chance. But I would say that they're helping with the friendliness that they're showing him, the other players in the clubhouse. And I think that, the Valley is an attractive place to be. You know, he lives in Miami in the off season. The distance might play a part, but he's a young single guy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's going to play into it that much.
All right, let me bounce around on to some of the national stuff. Bryce Harper and the slipping at first base, the call for removing bases and let's use technology. Where do you go on that one, Pedro?
I don't think that's happening at all. The only way that it'll even be addressed is if the Joint Advisory Health and Health Board, which is a co-op between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, they will look at this in the off season the same way that they looked at the Buster Posey at the plate collision story, the way that they looked at Ruben Tejada when Chase Utley slid into him in the postseason a few years ago and changed the rule at second base. The Buster Posey incident, which changed the collision rule at the plate. They'll look into it. I don't know that much can be done on this front. The base is going to be slick under wet conditions, which is normally not. There may be some type of a substance or a surface that can be changed. But I can tell you in talking to players, they like the feel of the bases and the hardness and the trampoline feel that they get from it when they're rounding a bag and things like that. So I would say this one has a 20 to 25% chance of changing.
All right. I got about 30 seconds. I'm going to have to drop one of these. Kinsler and Angel Hernandez, stop ruining baseball. Where do you go on the criticism of an umpire?
Oh, boy.
And is Kinsler right on this?
Well, there's a lot of people in the game that view Angel Hernandez in a negative light when it comes to his umpiring ability. So, no, Kinsler is definitely not alone on this one. And I don't think that baseball is going to say, all right, the players are upset with Angel Hernandez, we got to get rid of Angel. I think the opposite would be the case, where they're going to say, we're not letting the players dictate who we choose as umpires.
I got you. I appreciate your time. Drive safe. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
Take care. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. That was so good. The stuff on J.D. Martinez, that was really good. I like that. Adam Archuleta is coming up, and then Talk to the Lopes at 11. Adam now getting a promotion at CBS NFL. We'll talk with Adam Archuleta on the other side. Paul Coro with GCULopes.com. Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. That comes up as well. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now one of my favorite stories in the last 24 hours of the news cycle. When I saw the name Adam Archuleta and NFL at CBS, I was like, oh, that's cool. He's going to be back to do some games. Well, then I read a little bit further that he's not just doing a couple of games here or there. He's like a permanent deal with Spiro Ditas as the play-by-play guy. And the struggle that Adam went through, and I don't know, is that too strong of a word for you, struggle from the beginning of being a broadcaster to now? Was it a struggle? I mean, this is great news, I think, for you. Congratulations. Was it a struggle?
Thanks, Brad. No, I wouldn't say it's a struggle. I would say it's a journey. You know, I think you were with me when I first started down this road. I think we both could probably agree that in order to achieve what I wanted to achieve, I had to go through this because, you know, certainly I think it's very difficult for anybody to be ready, let alone where I started from and the things that I had to do. So I needed that time. I needed the reps. I needed everything. And I think that's just kind of, I think that's pretty across the board for anybody that, you know, has something they want to do in life and has to go out and try and attack.
So let's give the fans some context of this. Adam and I are sitting at a game where Arizona State's playing Oregon. We're in a dark suite that nobody's filled. I've got my laptop out with two old rickety headphones. And I said to Adam, you know, if you want to do this, I need to keep my play-by-play sharp. Why don't you just come in here and put the headphones on? We did this game, ASU against Oregon, that, what do you think, Adam, 5 hours, 4 hours? I mean, it went forever. And he's getting the reps. Adam's getting the reps of just 100 plays, and that's what you needed, right?
Yeah, when you want to get into the media, you know, there's studio guys and then there's game guys. And I think you can get away with personality and just having a good opinion and good knowledge if you want to be in the studio. So I don't think that transition is as hard. But, you know, as you know, Brad, doing a game is a totally different animal. And, you know, even if you do have regular work, when I was doing high school or college games, you only get 10 or 12 shots to practice a season.
Right.
And then you're off. So it's not as if you could just go to the gym for 6 hours a day and continue to get better and stronger and just, you know, spend more time. It's extremely limited. And then you have to look at it with a sharp ear and really be critical of yourself to see, you know, where you're at, where you want to be. And without putting in the time, without getting the reps, whether they're, you know, real or live or what we did, you have to put in the work and you have to find your way and build your brand, I think, to be good at this job.
We're talking with Adam Archuleta, CBS Sports NFL analyst, former great Sun Devil, played in the league, of course, now a regular as one of the CBS broadcast teams for the coming NFL season. So you're with Spiro Ditas. You're going to do a full load this year. Do you know your early season schedule?
I do. I don't have it memorized right now. We did get the first month of the season, but I open up with Baltimore, Cincinnati, and then I think I might have Jacksonville, Tennessee. I don't know. It's an AFC South game. It's Jacksonville, Tennessee. And then I think we go Denver, Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure. I might have Cincinnati again. Maybe Cincinnati, Cleveland. Maybe that rings a bell. But we just received the first 4 weeks of the schedule just a few days ago. So I do know I'm starting out with Baltimore, Cincinnati, though, so I'm pretty excited about that.
When you have an assignment like this, Adam, give the fans an idea of what you're going to go through, like, say, Friday going to the game or Saturday. But it's usually Friday, right? And you start your preparation early in the week. What's it look like for a week of an NFL color analyst week in and week out?
You know, without the family demands, because that also adds
right
to it. But, you know, we start out Monday, and not only do you have to have, you know, you have to be an expert on both teams, you've got to know what's going on throughout the entire league. You know, that's part of being, you know, a so-called expert in this business. So, you know, you kind of, you know, watch as much as you can, what's happening around the league. Then I start to dive in and watch. I'm starting to watch less and less of the TV copy because I don't like to be, I don't know, swayed or biased in any way with the previous announcers. I think sometimes you can get caught up in almost subconsciously emulating somebody else's style. And so as I kind of progress through this, I want the game to be, you know, my brand to be, what value do I bring to it, and what do I see with my own eyes? So I'm starting to watch less of the TV copy. But then it's, you know, getting my boards right, getting my players right, getting the facts, you know, all the stuff that you can research and really anybody can research. And having that is just the absolute bare minimum. But then the entire rest of the week is me saying, okay, if somebody can Google it, then I'm not doing my job as an analyst.
Ah.
So what value can I bring to the table? You know, when I watch a game, am I giving them something that maybe they didn't think of before? And so my entire week is crafted around, you know, what do we expect? You know, what can I point out in third down, situational football, critical downs? What do they like to do here? You know, if I can predict a couple plays, which is kind of difficult, you know, and hit a couple home runs in a game, you know, that's great. But that only comes through film prep. And so I kind of try and attack it that way of, you know, what's unique about the way I see it. And if I stay in that context, I think I can do a pretty good job doing a game. If I go back to the, oh, let's just regurgitate and try and prove how much I know about football or how much, you know, I research, then I don't think I'm doing a very good job as an analyst. So that's the preparation part, Brad. And then, you know, we usually leave on Thursday so that we can spend all day Friday with the home team. We go watch practice. We interview coaches, interview players. We kind of, you know, get back to our hotel, and then we go out as a, you know, a production team. So usually, you know, me, my partner, my producer, my director, maybe a couple other guys, go out to a nice dinner, you know, because it's about camaraderie and chemistry, and, you know, we get to talk about all kinds of stuff. And then Saturday we meet with the visiting team when they come in, and meet at the hotel and meet with the coaches and players that we want to talk to. And then we wrap it up that night with a big production meeting and wake up Sunday and hit it. So that's kind of how the week goes.
When you go into that production meeting and it's, let's just say it's Marvin Lewis or it's John Harbaugh, you walk into them, do you have to earn their trust just like anybody else in looking for them to give you nuggets? Or is it just, okay, standard operating procedure? If it's Belichick, it's going to be pulling teeth, or maybe it's great. I don't know. Give the fans an idea of what it's like when you're talking to those coaches.
You know, I think you absolutely 100% have to earn their trust. Even though you're a former player, it's not easy. And I got to tell you, it early in my career, it's a little intimidating because you really, you know, you just, it's like anything, you know, this business, as much as anything else, it's a people business. And, you know, being able to, they have to be able to trust you. But the way my style is this, you know, and every coach has a unique personality. I dread the day. I don't know. I'll be excited, but I dread the day that I have to do a New England game and deal with, you know, with Bill Belichick, because I've heard some pretty good stories that no matter how many times you've worked with him, he does not make it easy on the analyst. But the respect and what I've garnered in my feedback from PR guys is that, you know, when they come back and say, man, coach said that was one of the best production meetings they've ever had because you were so well prepared and you asked the right question. So they knew that you watched tape and they knew that you knew what was going on. And I think when you can have a conversation about X's and O's instead of, you know, just trying to interview them, then I think that goes a long way, and that's kind of how you earn respect in this business and get guys to kind of open up with you.
No, no, that makes perfect sense. Adam Archuleta with us, CBS Sports NFL analyst and, of course, former Sun Devil. Who helped you to get to this spot along the way of now being a regular CBS NFL analyst?
You know, I just think everybody along the way. I think back to you know, the early days with you and Tim, you know, giving me a shot and work with me. I mean, you're the only guy that took time out of his day to go do a mock game, you know, at ASU Stadium to provide reps. So I think, you know, in every stage there's been people, whether it's, like I said, people like yourself, different producers that have been really good. You know, I had a chance to do 4 games 2 years ago with Jim Rickoff here at CBS, who just got promoted to do the number 1 game. And I knew immediately when I got to do a game with him, I was like, man, this guy is a rock star. You know, this guy gets it. And whoever gets to work with him, boy, I tell you what, their ceiling just increased massively. So I've had the chance to work with great people. You know, Tom McCarthy, who has been my partner the last 2 years, is one of the best guys that you'll ever be around. And as far as a guy that gets it and is a mentor and can just help, not hold your hand, but just you know that if you ever need something or if you're about to screw up or you did screw up, that Tom's going to have your back and he's going to make it work. You know, so being able to work with guys like that have been instrumental. And, I just think that the CBS family, I enjoy everybody, all the executives. I think it's been a really good situation and a really good environment for me to do what I do best.
What do you see here, Adam? Have you been paying attention to the Cardinals much? I know CBS is mostly AFC, but if you've got a thought on the Cardinals coming into this season.
You know, I don't know if my thought is extremely well developed, Brad.
It's early.
I've been stuck neck deep in the midst of a remodel that hasn't exactly gone as planned for my family. So, you know, school started. We had to live in a hotel for a week.
Wow.
And, you know, we're in rental houses and
stuff.
It's been one of those things. So I admittedly am not where I would like to be as far as my NFL prep. But, I say this. One of my general thoughts about where the Cardinals are is I think, you know, 2 years ago I thought you had peak Carson Palmer. Had a great season. He got hurt at the end of the season. The defense was really good that year. And I thought that was Pete Carson Palmer. So I think for the Cardinals to get back to being one of the, you know, elite teams like they were, I don't think you're going to get that performance again from him. And not to say that he's going to play bad, but mm-hmm. I think the rest of the team is going to have to be that much better if they want to be just as good. So the defense has to take a huge step. And they have to be better than they were 2 years ago. And I think the offensive line and the running game, you know, there's some promise there, but I think it has to come together and it has to happen and special teams has to step up. So unless the entire team bumps it up 3 or 4 notches and really steps up consistently, I think they have the makings and the talent to be a good team, but you know, are they good enough to beat Seattle for the division? I don't think so, unless all those things come together.
Yeah, the window, it's really interesting here, Adam. The window, I think, is about 3/4 of the way closed on this one. This is not a roster that is built with a window that is just opening and emerging. Outside of David Johnson, you know, they'll tell us, well, David Johnson is this. He is. There's no question about it. But your other skill talent out there, the age is there. They still can be productive. But does Carson have anything left in the gas tank? Seems to be just the overriding theme across the league this year.
I would agree with that. And I would say, and this isn't to disparage him or anything like that, I would say no. I think, I think he's good enough to play well. You know, I don't think he hasn't achieved like end of the rope status or bum status. I think he can be a good quarterback. Can he have the season he did a couple years ago? I have my doubts about that. And that's just kind of, you know, my general feel about it. I think, you know, odds are he played as good as he could play 2 years ago. And that he still could play well. Can he play well enough consistently to overcome deficiencies that the roster might have? I don't know if he can consistently do that. So therefore, I say the rest of the team has to raise their play to overcome maybe where he has slipped in the last couple of years.
Well, congratulations. Again, I'm glad to get you on and to congratulate you over the air. This is big news for you personally. And get the remodel done and have a great season. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Well, I hope to get the remodel done, but I certainly plan on having a great season. Thanks, Brad. You know, anything for you, man.
Appreciate it. Adam Archuleta there with us. Always good to catch up with Arch. And that's terrific news for him with CBS Sports. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Talk to the Lopes in about 10 minutes. And then at 11:15, it is our weekly Friday night 360 AZ. So some good stuff still to come. All right, so coming up here in about 5 minutes, we'll have Talk to the Lopes. Paul Coro will be with us, our weekly segment with Grand Canyon University Talk to the Lopes. And Paul, of course, coming on board earlier this week, a terrific hire by GCU. He is in Spain, we understand. I don't know where in Spain. I just know that he is traveling around. No, I'm just kidding. He's with the basketball team. He's with Dan Marley, and they are in Spain. That comes up here shortly. And then at 11:15, we'll have our second airing of Friday Night 360 AZ, and Jordan is with us. Jordan Hamm, who you guys know here on the staff. And Jordan is jumping in here. Do you have Jordan, Jared? You have Jordan's camera? There it is. You're coming up at 11:15, you and Haley. What do you have coming up on the show?
We have Jason Jewell, my good buddy on the Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup. He's going to help us preview the 5A division, which is really stacked this year. And then also Dave Zorn up north. Plenty of talent.
Flagstaff, right?
Yeah, and in the Flagstaff area. So he's going to help us preview. We really want this show to be statewide and cover everything within the border. So we thought Dave was a great guy to get on. So we're going to be doing that. And then also previewing some of the big games, again, within the border that are going to be coming up this week, 0 week.
Yeah, so 0 week is this week. This is the first. This Friday night is the first night to get out and see. And Saturday, when you have Dave on, it's the Brophy Pinnacle game. So
correct.
Spencer Rattler is going to be up there.
Yep. Sullenberger Classic. So, two good teams going up north. Usually there are a couple of games up there, but this year it's just that one Pinnacle against Brophy.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Sounds good.
Jordan Hamm. That is coming up here shortly. So there's a couple other things here that caught my eye today. The Diamondbacks do play tonight. The TV ratings came out for the PGA Championship over the weekend. I'm sitting there Sunday, guys. I don't know about you, but as I'm sitting there Sunday watching, it was, who are most of these guys? And I was with some family, and they were saying the same thing. Who are most of these guys? So it's no surprise. The PGA Championships are down 27% in ratings. Now, it's August. And one of the things that the PGA is looking at doing, we've talked about this if you missed it over the summer, TPC Scottsdale, the golf community here in the Valley, is wanting to get a Ryder Cup here and is wanting to get a PGA Championship here with no mega sporting events in the foreseeable future. Foreseeable future, there's not a Super Bowl coming or a Final Four coming in the foreseeable future. There's a group of well-intentioned, and I think well-heeled, they've got the money to get it done, to get the PGA Championships here. They're going to move the PGA Championships up to early May. This would be huge for us. So ratings off 27% for the PGA. It's like, my gosh, we got to get out of this time slot. It's August. People are still on vacation. We have too many majors back to back to back. This actually is a bit of good news, I think, for the Valley and their pursuit of that. Diamondbacks are at Houston tonight. Eric, is there anything else today that, we're in that space of we've got baseball and
it was weird. It was weird last night not seeing a Diamondback game on a Tuesday, because usually Tuesday nights are Diamondback nights.
Just meant our show was on.
Yeah, I watched our show.
It'll
be nice. It'll be nice to get back in the habit of watching the D-backs at night.
Yeah.
Because they're a good watch.
They are a good
watch.
Win
or lose, they're a good watch.
There's a train wreck mentality there. Talk to the Lopes comes up next with Paul Coro. That is on the other side every week on Wednesdays with GCU. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University. Appreciate the partnership with them coming up on not just 2017, but also 2018, right through the end of the school year. It's great to have GCU as a partner with Sports360AZ.com. It's funny when you look at Grand Canyon University, how there's like this imprint of people that were with the Phoenix Suns or associated with the Suns or now even cover the Phoenix Suns, and how when something happens on one hand that doesn't look all that great, it turns out that it was something absolutely marvelous on the other end of the spectrum. I guess I would point to Dan Majerle, I would point to Jerry Colangelo, and now I would point to Paul Coro. Paul, of course, is a longtime observer of Valley sports, covered Valley sports for years and years with the Arizona Republic, left them at the end of 2016, and is now the GCULopes.com. Is reporter the right word? Do you have like this big fancy title?
There's all sorts of things. I think it says insider in a blog. It says senior writer in the HR department.
There you go.
Reporter.
Keep stacking it. Keep stacking it. You got to go, you know, go do sales, go do janitorial work. I've added those to my work, my workload. It's fine. It's what you do when you run something. So you are, in all seriousness, you are running GCULopes.com.
Oh, I wouldn't say that at all, but I'm definitely becoming a major contributor to it. There's I'm sure there's lots of people on the back end that make GCULopes.com what it's already become, and now I'm just supplementing what was there and trying to add some depth and detail to the coverage, kind of enhance and get more into some serious beat coverage of the basketball team at the perfect time when they're entering this D1 phase, ending the transition period, and get into some human interest stories on all the 21 teams and cover some of their big events too. But a lot of focus on men's basketball, of course.
That is awesome. Paul is joining us today from Spain. That's where his home office is now. It's a good gig, I guess, if you can grab it, right? Where are you in Spain right now as you're joining us?
I'm in Barcelona near the seaport.
Yeah.
Getting a little dinner at La Barca del Salamanca.
Yeah.
Not bad, eh?
It's not a bad gig if you can get it. And you're going to do this with the intent of, as you said, to go deeper into everything, not just the basketball side of things. And that's great on one hand. But on the other, the basketball deal is going to become an octopus, I would think, Paul, because give me a more interesting, intriguing storyline in college basketball than what this little private Christian university in Phoenix is going to be able to do here in 17 and in 18. And I would argue there's not many, because we all know the big powerhouses, but GCU is kind of this best kept secret, I would think.
Well, there's just layers and layers of intrigue to it, as you well know, Brad. I mean, you have Jerry Colangelo, who's been advising and assisting this program into the growth where it is. You have Majerle at the helm of it, coaching, and a Valley legend who really grinds from the inside. If you've ever seen him, how hard he works at this job and what he's doing with his really great staff to raise these guys up and get them ready for this next big step. And then the roster itself is just so intriguing. You have the homecoming of Casey Benson for his senior year, transferring from Oregon, former Corona del Sol star. You've got the recruiting phase where they're bringing in two 6'10 guys, one from Latvia, one from Italy, who are full of skill and talent and will be able to contribute right away. And returning stars like Josh Braun, who was Marley's first recruit and has battled some injuries and enough to be there for 5 years and be part of this major step. And just it goes on down the line with a bunch of guys.
Paul Coro with us. He is now with GCULopes.com. He is in Spain with the basketball team. What are they doing over there right now, Paul? What's the purpose of being in Spain with the basketball team?
Well, like a lot of teams, you know, ASU just left here, and U of A is finishing up here. The NCAA allows you to take one international trip every 4 years. They did Italy and Greece 4 years ago, and this is another great chance, one, because it lets them start early. They got 10 practices back in the Valley before they left. That's allowed when you have one of these trips. And then they get here, and they're going to have practices. They'll have three games against local teams in two cities, Barcelona, and then they'll go to Marbella. And then practices in between. And it's just so helpful for this staff at this time with new, you know, whether it be freshmen or Casey Benson coming in to take over the point guard lead, to have that extra time bonding chemistry, but also extra basketball time. And then they, you know, they also work in the student athlete part of it, where they get some tours, they learn the city, see some museums, all that sort of thing.
That's great. That's great. Okay, let's go right down the list then for fans of Grand Canyon University. I think in college basketball in general, the biggest story is, what conference will GCU be playing in down the road? Do you think it will be the WAC 3, 4, 5 years from now? I myself do not. What is your view on it?
It's the WAC for the foreseeable future. You know, the landscape of college sports is always changing and shifting, so who knows what will come next. Certainly you'd think the university would be attractive elsewhere, but, you know, geographically the WAC's been a good fit, and they've certainly had a lot of success. I think they've got 13 WAC titles throughout this four-year transition period. So then now they're set up. You know, a lot of the coaches have been sort of setting up their recruiting to have a breakthrough year this year. And so maybe that WAC title pile gets bigger.
Shifting away from basketball then, give me some other programs. I know it's early and you're also over there in Spain right now, but are there some other programs on campus at Grand Canyon University that you look at and say, yeah, this is going to be a program to keep an eye on? I had Shellis on last week talking about the soccer program. I think he's done a terrific job in following what he's all about. You got a couple in particular that you're looking at?
Yeah, that would be one of them, especially for the fall. You know, I think both men's and women's soccer, you know, Derek Leader coaches women's soccer, and they've got a huge freshman class coming in that could really boost that, along with a strong senior class. And, you know, I think the WAC is even sleeping on both those soccer teams for picking them where they did. You know, men's soccer got picked fifth in preseason. They have the returning player of the year. But also baseball and softball, those two teams would have been in the tournaments, you know, NCAA tournaments in the past for how well they've done. They both won the conference this spring. So you can only imagine what they can vault into, especially with the new facilities going up. You know, by the time spring rolls around, both of those teams will have brand new stadiums on campus, mm-hmm. and that can only enhance what they're doing.
You know, you've covered basketball for so long, but I've known you to enjoy being out at the high school stuff. Your wife is in the high school world here locally. You've had your kids have gone through it now. They're most of them are off to college, but is there a program that you're looking at that you're really looking forward to covering, a sport that you haven't covered before? Because now that you're there at gclopes.com, you're going to have the ability to just walk out and say, today I'm going to go cover X. Is there a sport you want to dive into, Paul, that you haven't before?
You know, I just love telling human interest stories. And, you know, I think at a university, especially with the international influx, there's so many interesting stories of how people got there. You know, the track, I'm a big track lover. You know, I just watched the World Championships in London, and that stuff I think is underrated for how special each and every event can be, the moments that happen within it. Women's basketball at GCU will be near and dear to me because I've known Nicole Powell since she was in high school, and she's been close with been a great mentor for my daughters as they were growing up, and it's incredible to see her return as a head coach for the first time in her career in her hometown. She's got, you know, some building to do there, but there's no doubt she's got the character and the moxie and the intelligence and the personality to recruit. And so the X's and O's, we'll just build it from there.
Good stuff. Safe travels. And congratulations on this. In all seriousness, I was screwing around off the top, but I think it's great for you to be leading up something like this, and I can only imagine how big this is going to get through the years. Good luck to you.
Yeah, true blessing in my life to have this come at this time and be with the people that I am, and it's great for my family too.
Yeah, just know that we do this every Wednesday, Talk to the Lope. So if you want to jump on here and push a coach out of the way, you're always welcome to. So, just
you know I love you, Brad, and E behind there.
Yeah, well, your choice of friends is questionable, but we'll let you go off that. Thanks, man. Good luck.
All right. Take care.
You got it. There's Paul Coro. GCULopes.com. I am sure that when Paul left the Republic, it was like, what's next? And he's taken some time. This is a great opportunity because Grand Canyon University is easily the best sports college story in the state. You can make the argument of U of A basketball. I got it. But I think if you just break through all the layers of what is going to happen here in the next 8 months leading up to March Madness. And I get it. There's going to be some that say, yeah, well, they're not they've got to win the WAC tournament in order to make it to the NCAAs. Yes, that is true. There's no question about that. But it is still, I think Dan's got the talent to do it. Talk to the Lopes every Wednesday as we talk GCU sports. Thanks for being with us, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.